He did. And he went on, and now the leading priests are all upset about that. But they couldn't do anything about it because the people were enthusiastic about Jesus. Isn't that a bummer when people are enthusiastic about Jesus? And not everybody's excited when you're excited about Jesus. But you know what? Who cares? That has to be our attitude. Not out of rudeness, but wait a minute. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. My benefits come from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. How can I help but be enthusiastic about Jesus? And how is anybody else going to have a seed of enthusiasm sown in their life if I'm not enthusiastic about Jesus? How will they have an opportunity to see what enthusiasm about Jesus is? How will their interest be piqued unless someone's enthusiastic about Jesus? That was how the crowds got enthusiastic about Jesus. Somebody would get healed and they'd run clear to the next town and say, "Man, the guy healed me." And by the time Jesus got there, they were excited again and everybody was enthusiastic about Jesus. And this really made the religious guys mad because the religious guys had no fruit. They had nothing to offer the people. And Jesus came in and offered them something and that made His deal better than their deal. And when His deal became the better deal, they got no deal anymore at all. And it was going to start costing them. But rather than join Jesus and help the people to grow, they would rather kill Him, because if they could get Him out of the way, they could get back to having their little. Because what they had compared to what God could provide them was nothing. But they wanted their way. And so then the next morning, they're leaving that town. They leave the city. The next morning they pass by that fig tree that Jesus had cursed, and it's dead as can be. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree the previous day, and he exclaimed, "Look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Like Jesus. It worked. What do you think about that? It even works with trees. Well, let's see now. He's calmed a storm. He's healed. He's fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Why should it be a surprise that the tree withered and no one would ever eat that fruit again, that no one would ever eat that lifeless fruit again? But Jesus says to him, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's all He said to him. You've got to have faith in God. You have faith in God. All it was. Just have faith in God. He was trying to tell them, you do the same thing that I do. I have faith in God. You have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and you do not doubt. Really believe and do not doubt. Not try to believe more than you're doubting. Not believe and hope it will overcome your doubting, but really believe and do not doubt. That's the hard part, isn't it? I think we all can say that we've had several things that we just were really believing, but we couldn't get ahead of our doubting. We were really hoping that God could do it in spite of our doubting. We were really hoping that we weren't doubting, even though it seemed like we were doubting. Right? Jesus said, all you got to do is really believe and do not doubt. That takes effort. That takes practice. That takes work. That takes saying, set a guard over my mouth, that I might not sin against you. And then when somehow or another the guard slips and it comes out again, you grab it, you set a guard over my mouth that I might not sin against you. First is getting control of who knows what coming out of our mouth. But ultimately, the whole thing is getting control of what we say so that we say what we really want to happen. Say what we really expect, really believe, really whatever description you want to put on it, but begin only to speak those things that are good, edifying, building up. I mean, saying those things because we want all the promises of God, so then saying the promises of God. And that isn't like saying, well, you know, we don't want it to turn into, well, he's kind of got this sickness, we don't want it to turn into, no. No. By the stripes, it's healed. What do I really want? I want him healed. What do I really want? I want him provided for. What do I really want? I want him protected. What do I really want? That's what I need to learn to say. Then I'm going to be fruitful. Then I'm not going to be like a tree with leaves that should have fruit, but when people get to me, they find out ain't no fruit there. Have someone walk up and say, oh, I'd heard you were a Christian, but I guess maybe not. Now, Grant, listen, you're not going to please everybody all the time. There's going to be all kinds of people that are going to try to find fault with you and make excuses and use you as their excuse. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about really believing and not doubting. Really believing that God is able to complete the good work that He's begun in you. What's the good work that He's begun in you? He saved you. He's able to complete your salvation. He's able to bring you to that place where the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are acceptable in His sight, where they're bringing glory to Him. He's able to bring you to that. We just have to submit ourselves to that. We submit ourselves totally to God and resist the devil. He flees from us. We speak the things that are not as though they are because we believe what God has said. And we loose the angels to do those very things that God has sent them to do. They're ministering spirits sent to take care of those who believe in Him. And we begin to believe that more than we believe anything else. We really believe. And the more that we really believe, the more that we see. The more that we see, the less we can doubt. I mean, the disciples had been through a lot, and when it came down to the hard stuff, and everybody else left, and Jesus said, are you going to leave too? Peter said, I don't know where to go. You're the words of life. Where else would we go? And so he knew. And yet when Jesus said, pray, so that you're not deceived, they slept. And Peter ended up denying Jesus three times. He made a good comeback. We need to pray. We need to believe. We need to believe. We need to pray. Jesus said we need to really believe and not doubt. Praying will cut down on our doubt. Because praying is time with God. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're in communion with Him. We're in communication with Him. So that if we manage to speak what we don't really want to happen, we can quickly retrieve it. Until we come to the place where we no longer have to retrieve it after we've spoken it, but we retrieve it before we speak it, because when the thought comes, we cast down the imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And so, before we're finished with good, we say blessed. Because we're learning to follow the path that the Lord is teaching us to walk on. That's where our success is. That's where our future is. That's where our hope is. That's where the answer to every need that we have. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. That's where it all is. It's in Him. It's in seeking Him. It's in calling upon Him. It's in His Word in our hearts so we can't sin against Him. It's in realizing that that is the best investment that we make, is what we invest in Him. Our time, our hope, our faith, our prayers. Is when we trust Him so much that we realize that His benefits are, He doesn't multiply in little bits. He's not like a bank that pays you the minimum amount of interest and charges anyone else as much interest as they can get to prosper. God's not the one who's trying to keep you from growing. He's the one that pays off your debts and pays you big dividends on what you've got. And as we come to that place, then we come to the place where Jesus was talking to them. All you've got to do is really believe and not doubt. And that's on everything that God has said. Really believing and not doubting. Really believing that who the Son sets free is free indeed. Really believing that old things have passed away, all things have become new. Really believing that the new things, the good plans, the new plans that God has for us are everything that He says. And as we grow in that and we grow in that, pretty soon we realize this is where it's really at. And it's in Him. It's not based on, well, let's see now, my prayers are getting answered 5 minutes faster. No. It's just in the fact that I am in Him. I am His. He is mine. That's all that really matters. Everything else are the benefits that are added unto that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. My gains are coming. If they're not here, they're coming. When they are here, there's more coming. This is the confidence we have. That when we pray, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have those things that we ask Him for. That's what He says. It's not outlandish to say to God, God, I know that's what You say, so I don't have any doubts about it. You can't lie. You can't fail. And we begin to walk in that, and walk in that, and walk in that, and walk in that. And then we begin to take on the attitude that Jesus had about the fruitless tree and say, you're not stealing from my life anymore. We start to recognize fruitless things. And then we're like Barnabas and Paul, and we say, wait a minute, that's what we came here for, was to tell you to turn away from these worthless things to the true God. What you saw was the true God. Hermes and Zeus never healed the guy, never would heal the guy, don't care about the guy because their whole thing is founded in Satan's little den. I mean, look at the war on terror. Look at those people. Where in the world do you think their beliefs crawled out of? They crawled right out of hell, man. Obviously they did. There's no life in it. It's only death. It is not intended to produce one moment's joy in a person's life. Not one moment's joy. A bunch of virgins when you die. I'm not real bright, but ladies, what would a bunch of virgins mean to you?
Well, for women, they get to take someone to heaven.
One person to heaven. Well, I've been enlightened. I'll stick with Jesus. And so,
it's like a no-brainer, doesn't it?
Really believe and do not doubt. Jesus said, if you really believe and you do not doubt, you can ask anything and it'll be given to you. If you really believe and you do not doubt, then you will receive what you ask. And others will see the benefits of really believing and not doubting. Not only that, they'll benefit from your benefits. Because you'll be able to bless them in more ways than just letting them know that you're blessed. You'll be able to share your blessing. Your confidence will grow. And you'll have no problem recognizing fruitless things and saying, you know, that's fruitless. Isn't that right? It's not easy. It is not easy. The Bible says that through many tribulations we will enter the kingdom of God. It's a battle. It's a battle. The adversary, the devil, lurks about seeking whom he may devour. It takes an effort. But if we see the benefit of the effort, it's not such a bad deal. And there isn't any sense in us only getting part of it. There isn't any sense in us only beginning and not continuing. There isn't any sense in us coming to some spot and then stopping. There just isn't any sense in it because there's so much more. There's no sense. The Bible, you know, the song says, the Bible doesn't say, the song says we should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. If we're discouraged, we're doubting. Jesus said you got to really believe and do not doubt. Discouragement doesn't come from God. Don't receive anything that doesn't come from God. Say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. I don't receive you. You're a fruitless tree. No more even from this tree. You got any fruitless trees that you keep checking for fruit? Man, don't check them for fruit anymore. Let them wither up and die. And just go for those other things. Go to the Lord. Because He's always fruitful. Take it to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we bring it to You. We bring it to You and we ask You to bring this to life in our lives. One more step closer to You. One more leap into really believing. One more mile away from doubting. One more time of submitting ourselves totally to You. Resisting the devil. Seeing him even now fleeing from us. Mad as can be. Just like those old religious leaders. Wishing He could kill us, but can't get near us. We welcome this, Father. We really believe it, and we refuse to doubt one single word that You have promised. In Jesus' name, amen.